I'd like to welcome everyone to today's Lacrallo monthly call on Monday the 20th of May at 2300 UTC. I will proceed with a quick roll call. It's Gisela speaking. On the Spanish channel, we have José Arce, Alberto Soto, Antonio Medina Gómez, Guillermo Zamora, Sylvia Herlein-Leite, Aida Noblia, Vladimir Davalos, Natalia Enciso, Carlos Vera, Sergio Salinas Porto, Fatima Cambronero, Diego Bastistas. On the English channel, we have Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Dev Anand Tiluksing, and Sintra Suknanan. Apologies noted from Carlton Samuels, Juan Manuel Rojas, Gilberto Lara, Alejandro Pisanti, and Javier José Palero, as well as Heidi Ulrich. From staff, we have Silvia Vivanco and myself, Gisela Gruber. I hope I have not left anyone off the attendance list. And if I could please remind everyone to state your names when speaking, not only for transcript purposes, but also to allow the interpreters to identify you on the other language channel. Thank you very much, and over to you, José.
This is José Arce speaking. Thank you, Gisela. Welcome, everybody, to the Lacrallo monthly call on May 20th. Thank you to the participants on the English and Spanish channels, to the interpreters, to the staff members. I am really pleased because today, during the first 30 minutes of this call, we will have as our guest speaker today, Olivier, whom you all know. We are dealing with the capacity building session of this call, addressing something that is indeed very relevant, that is the policy development, the formal policy development process. That's why we are all here at ICANN. So, Olivier, of course, let me thank you right from the beginning for your support to this capacity building program since its inception in Costa Rica with Natalia and other of our members. We believe that we can train the region and build capacities in the region to develop our policies, but we do need guidance along these lines. So nobody better than you to do so, Olivier. So I now give the floor to you without further ado. You have the floor, Olivier. Thank you.
Thank you very much, José. It's Olivier here for the transcript record and for the interpretation. I'm very, very happy to be here and to be able to address your ALSs in Lacrallo. And in fact, what I've decided to do was to basically give you the presentation that I gave over to the APRALO ALSs in Beijing. I took that that set of slides. It's also the introduction. Well, it's a shortened version of the introduction to at large that I give to the fellows. And fortunately, with the fellows, I have something like 6 to 8 minutes to tell them how at large works, and it makes it very, very difficult. And certainly they all get very confused by the speed at which I have to go through these slides. So here, what I've done is to take the deck of slides, and I hope that everyone is on Adobe Connect because I will be referring to these quite extensively. Looking at the first slide, I think you all know the ICANN multi-stakeholder model. You've all seen it. I've taken the board away from this slide for the simple reason that everyone has seen the normal diagram with the board in the center, but really the work, according to Steve Crocker, the chairman of the board, the work should really be taking place in the community, and by the time it reaches the board, issues must have really been, have found a solution, let's say. So the board should not be the part of ICANN that makes all of the decisions. Of course, sometimes it has to make decisions, but most of the time it just has to, it should be able to ratify and have a simple answer to questions because the communities have all provided the answers. So if you look at the whole model, you'll find out that it's a complete multi-stakeholder system with governments and internet users, which is at large, and the country code operators, and the generic name supporting organization that deals with the GTLDs, the generic names, and also the address supporting organization, the ASO. And you also see some other advisory committees on there. I think you've all seen that diagram. So I'm showing this because it shows you that we're not the only ones in the whole ICANN ecosystem. We have to also work with the other people in the ecosystem. And ALAC members, so the members of the At-Large Advisory Committee, are very much encouraged to liaise and to speak with people in the other parts of ICANN. I think it's something that is sometimes missing because you think that as an ALAC member, you just have to deal with ALAC business and ALAC work. But in fact, part of that work is being able to engage with the other, the rest of the communities out there. And I know that many people in LAC Rallo have actually been doing this due to some work that also has taken place outside of ICANN in the wider internet governance side of things. So that's the way this goes. Now, the organizational diagram you will have also seen, and here you can see that the RALOs are really the pivot between the at-large structures, the end users really, and the at-large advisory committee. And as you all have probably heard, on the ALAC, you have two people, two members that are selected by the region, by the RALOs. So Latin America and Caribbean would select two people to go on the at-large advisory committee. And one person would be selected by the nominating committee, which is somehow an external process. So LAC Rallo has three people on the ALAC. These three people really are there to represent LAC Rallo on the ALAC and to work with the RALO in being able to engage in communication in two different ways. There's communication from the ALSs all the way to, and I'm showing here on this diagram, you see the ICANN board, but of course all the way to the policy processes in ICANN. And there's also communication that needs to take place in the other direction. When ICANN has, for example, the recent things, the objections process, for example, ICANN has information that it needs to tell the population and internet users about, and that's where the information goes from the ALAC through the RALO, the RALOs towards the ELSs. And, of course, the representatives from the at-large structures theoretically should provide that extension to their members in being able to send that information over to them. What is at large? I think you pretty much know this one. I just want to draw your attention on a couple of things. First, and in fact, I'm going to use that little red arrow. Here we go. Here is the red arrow. The green arrow. What am I saying? Red. Because there's red text here. This, issue comments in response to ICANN public comment requests. This is a really important part of the work that the At-Large Advisory Committee does. ICANN often asks the community questions about all sorts of processes and policies, and one of the main work that we do in At-Large is to respond to these public comment requests. We are an advisory committee, and this is one of our main jobs. In addition to that, we can comment on things outside of the public comment system. And we can comment on any subject, any process, anything that is ICANN related. It doesn't need to be in a public comment process. And I'll go into the way that this works very shortly. We can comment about some external processes as well. This has happened, for example, with the U.S. Department of Commerce during the IANA contract discussions, or prior to the IANA contract discussions. I think there was a comment period that the U.S. government has asked for, and we had put together some reply to this public comment that they had. Then there is the taking part of cross-community working groups. These are working groups which bring their membership from across all of ICANN. So I showed you before the different parts of ICANN. The cross-community working groups are there to bring everyone together. There are not that many of these around. In fact, at the moment, I think that there might just be one left. The GNSO has had a few problems with understanding how cross-community working groups work. They had one specific one which was with the CCNSO, and each party to the cross-community working group between the two drew their own different conclusions. And it was a bit embarrassing, because really when you have a group, everyone needs to have the same conclusion. So there are not many cross-community working groups now, but there are a lot of GNSO working groups that are still being created. And very often, members of the community are invited to join those working groups. They make policy, and we have received on many occasions notes from the GNSO saying, does anyone from ALAC or from the at-large community want to join these working groups? So we certainly are involved with that. And then, as I said, relaying the message, the ICANN message, to the Internet users around the world. I just put that in one sentence. Of course, we're not relaying the ICANN message itself. What we're doing is relaying any information about ICANN to Internet users around the world. The communication aspect is really, really important. And finally, the coordination of the filing of the new GTLD objections from the community. That was the first operational thing that we were given. And it was a particularly pioneering thing, because it was the first time that we had to go through this process. And as you know, there were three objections against .health. I know that there was also some discussion regarding objections for other strings, including .Patagonia and .Amazon, but the way the system was designed, it appears that it didn't get the amount of weight from other parts of from other regions for it to be able to proceed forward. But this is something which will, you know, the coordination of the filing of new GTLD objections is likely to continue in future cases after it is reviewed. It appears to have gone okay. I'm not saying it's gone very well, because ultimately we will only find out when the whole process is finished. And I would have thought there were going to be more objections than there were, but there were very few. So it's maybe this time around was just a test. And we'll see in the future if there will be more confidence for our ALSs and for people outside of ICANN to lodge objections. Anyway, let's move on. The at-large bottom-up to the ICANN. We all work in bottom-up. So you see the at-large structures. You see the at-large structures at the bottom. And you see the regional at-large organizations, and then the ALAC, the 15-member committee of people. The information, really, when you've got a policy process, the information should come from the at-large structures, so from the bottom all the way to via the relos to the top. And it's important that the relo leadership and the people involved at the core of the relo facilitate this and are well aware of how to get that information through. Of course, in disseminating the information, when ICANN has to publicize things, the information has to flow in the other direction. So let's take a response to a public comment request. How does this work? And by the way, I will take questions at the end, so please bear with me. I've just got a couple more slides on this. ICANN asks for comments. That's the first thing of a public comment request. When ICANN asks for comments, and in theory, this is what should happen. So the public comment request is sent over to the mailing list, to the ICANN at-large announce list, and there should be a discussion in the ALAC to discuss comments, whether a comment should be filed. And there should also be a discussion in the relos to discuss whether there should be a comment filed. And this is where the at-large structures, the ELSs, should bring their input. Bearing this in mind, if there is a need for a first draft, for a comment, then if that's the case, proceed. Someone will pick up the pen, basically. And again, that's a case where somebody steps forward and says, well, I feel particularly strongly about this. I would like to write the first draft, please. And they pick up the pen and they put on the wiki, they put the thing. I see here the audio, we cannot hear anything. Oh, dear. Is that on the Spanish channel? Because I'm going on. Okay, I'll continue, and hopefully you will be able to fix the problems on the Spanish channel. I'll keep on going. If you want me to stop, just write a big stop on the chat, and then I'll stop. First draft is being drafted by someone who picks up the pen, and then there should be a discussion within the relos and within the ALAC and the whole community if there is consensus on this. And if there is consensus on this, on the draft, and of course bearing in mind that there are comments which are brought in by everyone and at large, then the statement is issued, and then the statement is ratified. The 15-member ALAC will vote on the statement, and only when the statement is ratified is the statement then released. The challenge that we are faced with here is that between...
Yes? The interpreters. Sorry for interrupting you, but there are many issues on the Spanish channel and not listening to you.
Ah, okay, fine.
So sorry for interrupting you.
Sabrina Teasley here. Also, when you come through, it is very difficult to hear you. I don't know if they're having that issue on the line.
Yeah, I think it sounds like the interpreters have a problem with their line.
Yes, I'm hearing it also.
Interruption. Yeah. This is one of the interpreters on the English line. Can you hear us well?
On English channel, no, we can't hear you well, Sabrina. It is a terrible line. I'm not sure if you need to disconnect and redial, please.
I think we have disconnect and redial. We have perfect incoming audio on both channels, but we will disconnect and redial very quickly.
Okay.
Sorry for this.
In reference to someone.
Well, I hope it gets sorted out, otherwise we really can't do a meeting.
It doesn't sound like a good start, huh?
Well, hopefully. It's because it's strange, because the interpreters were hearing you good. But when they were talking to us, they were like underwater kind of sound, so kind of strange.
Almost like a lack of capacity or something. And distortion, digital distortion.
This is the interpreter on the English channel. Can the participants on the English channel hear me?
Yes, very well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Olivia. Sorry for this interruption.
Okay, fantastic. So I understand that I have been asked. Sorry, it's Olivier here again for the interpreters and for the transcript. I have heard. Can you hear me at the other end? I know the interpreters can hear me, but can the Spanish channel hear the interpreters correctly? Fantastic. Okay, this is Olivier again for the transcript. So I will go through this slide again because it appears that there was distortion while I went through this slide. So effectively, this is a slide that details the response to a public comment request. So ICANN asks for a comment on any subject, subject A, let's say. And when ICANN asks for this comment, this is being sent by at-large staff to the at-large announce or ALAC announce list, which I think everyone is subscribed to. At that point, ALAC members have a discussion on the comment and find out if they think that there should be an actual statement drafted about this. But at the same time, in theory, RALOS should also be alert to this and be really looking at the request for their public comment and asking themselves whether there should be a comment, and asking their ALSs whether there should be a comment. Now, the ALSs bring in the input to this, and if there is a consensus about whether a comment is required or not, at that point, somebody is asked to pick up the pen and to be the pen holder, effectively, and to draft a first draft. Often it is somebody that volunteers who is very much involved with the subject. There are times when there is a working group in at large that is very much involved with the subject. So it could be the chair of the working group, or it could be a member of that working group that picks up the pen to write a first draft. This first draft is put on a wiki page. That wiki page is then advertised by staff, to all of the to the announce list again, and basically everyone is invited to comment on that first draft and perhaps make some amendments, etc. And so the comments can come in both from ALAC members, but also from the at-large structures. And I think it's really important that our at-large structures bring their input to those comments, because at the end of the day, what we are doing is to relay the input from Internet users. We can't represent the Internet users, but we can certainly act in their best interest. And the more input we get from at-large structures, the more likely it is that we will actually get, you know, good input that we can send into the ICANN policy process. When we reach consensus, and sometimes consensus is not reached because there are several different points of view that don't agree with each other, but the point is to try and reach consensus where everyone agrees to a core statement. When that point is reached, and as I said, there are times when we don't reach it. If we don't reach consensus, then no statement. We can't send a statement if people are not agreeing with each other in our community. But if there is agreement, at that point, it's sent, the ALAC, therefore, issues the statement. So there's a final draft that is written, and it becomes a statement at that point. And then the ALAC, before the statement is released, the ALAC has to ratify it. So the 15 members on the at-large advisory committee have to vote for it. And usually by the time it reaches the vote, it obviously means that it's reached consensus here. So 99.9% of our votes are always pretty much nearly unanimous, or maybe a couple of people are abstaining. Very few times is there any real split vote, because really, if there was a split vote, it means that there was no consensus, and you just need to make sure that consensus is reached before that happens. And then finally, the statement is released. It's sent to the board, or it's sent to the public comment process, the staff in person, the staff in charge of that public comment. But the reason why I wanted to show you this, it might seem like a long process, but between this time when ICANN asks for comments and this time when the statement is released, we have 21 days. This is the minimum amount of time that we have to comment during the initial public comment period. There are usually two parts to it. There is a reply period as well, where we are supposed to look at the comments that were sent in the initial comment period and reply to them. That's also particularly difficult because we also end up with only 21 days to do that. So what sometimes happens is working with at-large staff, ask for an extension of time so we can send our statement later than after 21 days. Or sometimes we decide to actually send our statement during the reply period, because 21 days is just very little amount of time to go from there to there. So this is why you might see on some cases when it's very important for us to comment on, you might see several reminders by staff, because every day that passes by is a little stressful to try and get the input in there. So effectively it means everyone has to really be ready for this, ready to be in action for this. So that's the at-large structure, that's the response to the public comment request. Earlier I spoke to you and said that we can also have spontaneous statements that come out. And spontaneous statements are ones where the ALAC is allowed to comment on everything and anything at any time. We don't need to just wait for public comment requests. And this is where if an ALS, this is just an example, but let's say an ALS wishes to comment on something that is important to them. The first step is to discuss this with the RALO and within the RALO, and I guess there would be more comments coming from other members in other ALSs in the region. If there is a consensus at the RALO level itself, then the railo can engage in discussions with other railos and find out if this is something that doesn't only affect this, you know, one region, but it might affect a number of other regions as well. If there's consensus on that, it can escalate this and speak to the, the railos can basically speak to their ALAC members. And this can be brought over to the attention of the ALAC, where the ALAC can discuss the matter. If there is consensus at ALAC level, then we move to the next slide. And where's my arrow? Here it is. If there's consensus at the ALAC level, at that point, the ALAC can carry the statement asking for comments. There needs to be an opening asking for comments from people, integrating those comments over in the overall statement. So the statement would be amended according to the comments received. And if there is consensus on this, then the ALAC would issue the statement. And then we, of course, every statement that goes out needs to be voted on before. So that would be confirmed and the statement would be released. And that statement would be sent over to the board or to the chair of the GNSO or the chair of the CCNSO or the CEO as well. We've had some statements sent to the CEO. We basically send it to whoever is the most pertinent person to send it to. But that's how the system works for spontaneous comments. It might seem like a long-winded process, but it can actually take place again in a matter of a couple of weeks. The important thing is having enough communication and being able to share that information with the others so as to build that energy that synergy between the railos and with the ALAC members to see if a statement could come out. There have been a couple of occasions where some people have asked for a statement. An ALS was feeling particularly strongly about something, and it didn't make it. It did not make it all the way to become a statement. That's no problem. If the ALAC itself believes that there should not be a statement on something because you did not get enough support from at least three railos, then you can issue a statement directly over at railo level, and this is something that has happened. If there is consensus at railo level, or even at the local railo level here, nothing stops the railo from issuing a statement themselves and sending the statement out. This is not a case where railos are not allowed to say anything and where they have to say everything through the ALAC. It's a pretty open process. Of course, having a statement sent by the ALAC might carry more weight than having a statement sent from a railo, because it shows a worldwide concern rather than a more local concern. But the different options are open, basically. So that's the way that the process works. I just wanted to show you three important links at the end of this quick presentation. The first one is the correspondence page. This is where all of the statements are contained from all the statements that the ALAC has drafted, and I think that the RALO statements are even on there as well, if there are any. The second one is the policy development page. This is the main wiki page from which all of the statements statements currently being drafted are found. And if you want to be involved in drafting and in commenting on anything, you are all very welcome to do so. All ALSs have the ability to do that. And then you've got the at-large working groups. That's the third one. And as I said earlier, most of the policy work now takes place in working groups rather than taking place at ALAC level. And that's because there are so many different fields that we need to work on simultaneously. It's virtually impossible for one person to be involved with everything. So having the working groups make sure that your mailbox doesn't get filled with stuff that you're not interested in. And I must say, as far as the working groups are concerned, it's not only the ALS designated representative or designated representatives that are allowed to take part in the working groups. The at-large working groups are open to absolutely everyone. So if you have members in your ALS that are very knowledgeable about a subject, but you as your at-large structure representative are not knowledgeable about the subject, you're very welcome to bring those members in to take part in the working group. There is no barrier to this. The only the only difference, why do we have an at-large structure representative, is because it is that representative that has the ability to vote when there is a vote that takes place at the regional at-large organization level. For example, the recent vote that you had with regards to your leadership. So that's the current process for the policy development. I had another document which was uploaded, and that's related to the rules of procedures, and it basically gives out the main amount of work that ALAC members should do, what's the function of the ALAC members, etc., and what is the minimum qualification criteria of ALAC members. But I think maybe that's might be for another day. I don't want to keep you too long, and I've already spoken maybe for a bit too long for this call. But I'm very much open for questions now, and I hope I've answered some of your questions already. I see that Fatima Cambronero has her hand up, so I guess I'm still running this part of the call. So, Fatima, you have the floor.
This is Fatima for the record. Thank you very much, Olivier, for your explanation. And this was what we needed in our relo. I know that your explanation was very clear, but I would like to insist on something for us to have it very clear on our minds. When there is a public comment open, or a public comment period open, or when there is a spontaneous statement, my question is there any criteria or rules or best practices to be applied? And telling us when the railer should join the ALAC declaration, because these criteria help us to understand when the railer may state or provide a statement, because sometimes we have particular statements. That is on one hand. That is to say, my question goes to these best practices or criteria. And the second question has to do with this. For example, when we have a public comment, ALAC decides not to make a statement. So can the RALO take that issue or topic and say that if they are interested in that issue or topic, they may draft a declaration, and then can they post that in the public comment period on behalf of the RALO?
Yes. Thank you very much, Fatima. So here's the answer to your two questions. So the first one, is there a criteria when the RALO gets involved with the ALAC on public comments? And in fact, there is no specific criteria at all. When the public comment is publicized by at-large staff, and in fact, sometimes it's publicized even before, if you are, I think that if you are there are some mailing lists, announcing mailing lists, or ICANN information mailing lists that you can subscribe to. And you would maybe get 24 hours earlier than on the at-large list, you would get, everybody would be able to get the announcement of the public comment on a specific subject. And so it's at that point, the railos themselves can be involved directly. You know, writing, holding the pen to draft a statement is not something that is limited to ALAC members. It can be anyone, any of our members. It could be an ALS representative that holds the pen to draft a statement. What's important is that when we ask the question, do you think this, there should be a statement drafted about this, we need to have answers pretty quickly. And if you don't believe that there is, that it needs to have a statement, then no need to raise your voice. But if you really do believe, then please raise your voice. The judgment call sometimes into whether we write a statement or not is sometimes just done in thinking, well, I haven't heard anyone in my region that has asked about this. I don't think they're particularly interested. Yes, we have people who are experts in the matter. We have Alan Greenberg, who is the GNSO liaison, and we have Sherilyn Denor, who is the CCNSO liaison. So when it's a matter of, that takes place in the GNSO, we often ask for the input from Alan Greenberg to try and find out whether he believes, knowing the subject very well, if it's important for us to comment. Now, if the ALAC decides not to comment because it's something which was deemed not to be important to comment on, the railos are very much free to be able to comment directly, of course. They're not told by the ALAC what to do. So if your railo decides it wishes to comment on something, and that's, by the way, as I said, for either a response to a public comment period or a sometimes a spontaneous comment, then you don't need the green light from the ALAC to go ahead with this. The only thing I would ask, though, is for you to make sure, if the railo is going to have a comment, to make sure that you do have consensus in your region. And it's not because it's a top-down thing saying you need to have consensus in your region. No, it's because when you are able to show the process by which you have reached consensus, you will notice that people who are reading that statement that will be released will be interested and think, aha, this really is a consensus position, and they will take this into account a lot more than if it looks as though the statement is just drafted by a couple of people and there was no real consensus on it. You can be sure that when you draft a statement, someone who will read it and who is interested in the subject will ask people in the region and say, so, yeah, what was this statement about? So you all supported this, so there was consensus. That's the nature of the game, I guess. I hope I've answered your question. Okay, thank you. I see Jose Arce has got his hand up. Jose, you have the floor.
Jose Arce speaking. Thank you very much, Olivier. Your explanation has been very clear for us. I would like to ask you something. I would like you to tell us the real impact that the ALAC advice has on different issues, on parameters, so I would like you to tell us about the advice provided by the ALAC and the impact that this advice has.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Jose. It's a very good point. It's a very good question for a simple thing, because I often sense that there is frustration among our members that our advice does not get listened to. And this is something which I think might have been true a few years ago. 3-4 years ago, a lot of the advice that the ALAC was providing was, we sent the advice over to the public comment process, and we never heard any feedback or anything about what happened with our advice. We didn't know whether it was put straight into the bin or whether it was followed. And if you look at the history of things, you will notice that some of our advice was actually followed, but we were never told that it was followed. And some parts of the new GTLD process have actually been dealt with specifically because the at-large community had asked for it in the past. I don't have exact, there is one example which I remember just out of memory like this. I think it was the issue of fast flux setting up domain names temporarily and then changing it. It was a complex issue, and it's a loophole which the at-large community pointed at right away. Another issue, for example, was compliance. We have the at-large community and through the committee has complained that the compliance function was not being done properly and had a number of points to make about compliance. And very quickly, recently, there were answers from Fadi Shahada, the new ICANN CEO, who took the compliance function out of the jurisdiction of ICANN Legal and moved it into the department where the head of compliance reports directly to the new CEO. This is one thing which has been done directly related to the comments that we have actually sent over the years during the times when we had the chance to do so. So I think that whilst in the past our advice was not really listened to, more recently, our advice has been listened to a lot more. And certainly with the new management team in place now, Fadi Shahade and Tarek Kamel and Sally Costerton and, of course, David Olive is in charge of the policy. There is a team now that I think listens a lot more to the whole community, not only to at-large, but to the other parts of ICANN as well. But certainly the importance of ALAC advice and at-large advice is a lot higher than it was in the past. And that's also partly due to the fact that ICANN needs to be more transparent, needs to continue improving its processes so as to really respond to the needs of the Internet users. At the end of the day, the affirmation of commitments, which is the contract that ICANN has signed with the U.S. Department of Commerce to be able to run and coordinate the domain name systems and the numbers, the IP addresses, this contract mentions specifically, it has clauses in there which specifically mention the public interest, specifically mention the transparency, the accountability that ICANN needs to have for the public. And the ALAC, as being the part of ICANN that brings the input from the public, has got a growing importance in this overall structure. And while, you know, in the past, this was negated by private interests, organizations that had vested interests in place. But thanks to the new management team and also the new chair of the board, it must be admitted, this is changing, and it's changing for the better. And I think that we are on a good streak. It's not perfect yet, but it's getting better. And the more input we bring and the more, you know, the ALAC and the RALOs and the ALSs are able to bring that input and do that job of bringing the input from the edges, the more likely it is that we will be listened even more. I hope I've answered your question here. I know I'm a little verbose. I speak a lot, but... Any other questions? I see Jose has dropped off, so maybe we... I see Natalia and Ciso.
This is Sylvia Herlin-Leite. I would like to read Natalia's and Ciso's question. She's asking Olivier, based on what he says regarding comments,
yeah, so for any comment, can we have a statement from the ALAC?
Speaking. So based on what you said, for any comment, can we have a statement from the ALAC, another from the RALO, and maybe another from the SAM ALSs? Is that correct? Is it a good practice? I don't know if Olivier can read the question from the chat.
Yes, thank you very much, Sylvia. It's Olivier for the transcript. Yes, I have just read it from the chat here. Can we do this? So can a statement from the ALAC, another statement from the RALO, and another statement from an at-large structure be released? Yes, it can. Strictly speaking, there is no prevention from anyone for making a comment and for drafting a comment. However, you have to look at the weight of your comment, the weight as in, you know, how heavy, what significance will that comment have? A statement, a comment that is made by an individual just engages the responsibility of that individual. A comment made by an ALS engages the responsibility of that ALS. A comment made by the RALO engages the responsibility of more than one ALS, since it would be the RALO itself. And a comment made by the ALAC is you know, a lot of ALSs. In fact, with the more than 150 at-large structures around the world, that weight would be carried when it's actually taken into account. Now, if the comments from the RALOs, the ALS, and the ALAC differ, I think that it would definitely bring a mixed message to whoever it is that is going to read those comments. But the message that it might bring is the fact that the ALAC in its whole believes one thing. There might be a minority point of view from a RALO, and in a RALO there might be an even different point of view within the RALO from an ALS. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that, because many of the subjects in ICANN are not just a black or white yes or no matter. They are sometimes based on shades of gray, and sometimes there is truth, and several points of view might be correct, but might not be aligned together. So I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. Is it good practice? Well, of course, ultimately, I would rather like to see our community really cemented together and speaking with one voice. That's the ideal thing, that we all agree with each other. But there are some subjects where we're not going to agree with each other. And rather than having no statement whatsoever, perhaps it is important to explain what our diversity is and what our diverse opinions are like. That shows maturity in our community. And I hope that we can convey this. I hope that answers your question.
This
okay.
is Jose speaking. We have not reached the hour. So, Olivier, on behalf of the region, I would like to thank you for participating in this call and for being so clear in your explanation. We have a labeling group, and I am personally in charge of developing certain material for this working group. So I would like to take your PowerPoint presentation, if you allow me to do so, because that would be part of the content for that material. So now we need to continue with the agenda. So if there are no other questions or comments, I would like to go on with the items on the agenda. Jose Arce speaking. So thank you very much, Olivier. We'll contact you if we need your help. Now, the following item on the agenda is the SARP update. I don't know if Sintra is still on the call. If so, Sintra, would you like to take the floor and make a summary of the last call regarding
Thank
the
Thank you very much,
Jose. This is Sintra Suk.
Hello? Hi, Sintra Suknanan here. Thanks, Jose, for your introduction. I'd like to just talk a bit about the SARP. The SARP is the Support Applicant Review Panel. The SARP was born out of the efforts of the JAS. JAS is the Joint Applicant Support Working Group. This is an instance where at-large policy comments and work in working groups really resulted in positive results for our community and for nonprofits and developing countries. Many of you will know that Carlton Samuels was the co-chair of the JAS along with Rafiq Damak, and the SARP provided support, financial support, to applicants from developing countries and specifically nonprofit organizations who could not afford to be part of the new GTLD program. The SARP followed guidelines in the financial handbook. This handbook basically followed a lot of the rules that were set out by the JAS working group and which were modified by staff so that it could be set out in clear rules. Each application was evaluated on its merits. Instances where there were questions and thresholds relating to the criteria, I was asked to give my opinion of what was the intention of the JAS working group. My role in the SARP was really to be an independent observer. I was not a voting member. I was there to give support to the SARP where they needed it on instances where there were questions or maybe comments as to the mindset of the JAS working group in coming up with the criteria. Out of three applications that came to the SARP, one was approved, and this was the .kids application. I wanted to mention that two of the applications came from Asia-Pacific, and one came from Africa. There were none from Latin America and the Caribbean or the other regions. And I think this was largely due to a lack of outreach, maybe on particularly in terms of staff giving announcements to the community, as well as our own internal mechanisms to reach out to NGOs that may have been interested. As well, you know, part of the reason was due to the fact that this is a new process and there are risks involved in any new process since all the rules are not well understood. I can't say too much in terms of the results of the jazz simply because, sorry, in terms of the results of the SERP simply because some of the applications that were rejected are still under reconsideration, but essentially a lot of the communication that has been given on the SERP has been done by staff. It's also been done directly to the new GTLD working group, which Abby Doria is chair. And I suppose follow-up correspondence will take place during the next few weeks. I want to open to discussion. Unfortunately, I'm not on the Adobe Connect room, so please, if you could just intervene by phone, that'd be great.
This is Jose Arce speaking. Thank you very much, Sintra. Now I will open the floor for discussion. I remember seeing an email on the list where there were many ALS's participants participating in this meeting. I think it was Sergio Salinas Porto and I think Aida. But, well, is there any question for Sintra?
Okay, while I'm waiting for questions, this is Sintra Suknanan again. Just to let you know that applicants that have been approved by the SERP, they now form part of the new GTLD applicants. So they fall directly into the process of a new GTLD applicant, and they will be subject to all the rules of new GTLD applicants. But I'm assuming as well that there will be follow-up action by staff and by the community just to make sure that the rules that, and criteria that allow them to be qualified for applicant support are maintained. So, for instance, if one of the qualification criteria was that they are a not-for-profit organization, that they will maintain that not-for-profit status rather than becoming a commercial entity, for instance.
This is Jose Arce speaking. Thank you very much, Sintra, for your presentation and for this update regarding the SERP group. I see that there are no questions on the AC room. Some people are typing. I think it is Sergio. Sergio has a question. So I will read the question. Sergio Salinas Porto is asking about .patagonia, .amazon, and .cba. And I see he's still typing on the chat room.
Okay. So in the meantime,
so,
let me just...
Sintra, this is all.
Sorry.
This is Sergio's question. So you have the floor, Sintra.
Okay. This is Sintra Suknanan. Let me just say that those applicants, those new GTLD applications, didn't actually apply to the SERP for applicant support. So their criteria or their evaluation will fall directly within the new GTLD working group procedure. Sorry, the new GTLD application procedure, not within the assessment by the SERP. The SERP was really developed only for applicants that needed financial support in order to take part in the program. Does that answer your question, Sergio?
This is Jose Arce speaking. Sergio is still typing. So perfect, he's saying, perfect, dear Sintra, thank you for your answer. So there are no other questions. So I would like to ask to thank you once again for sharing with us this update and for being there, always supporting us. I know that you're well involved in this issue and you have great knowledge. So thank you very much, Sintra. Now we will discuss item number 5 on the agenda, and this is the update of the regional strategic planning. Fatima, would you like to take the floor? This is Fatima Cambronero speaking. Thank you very much, Jose. I will briefly tell you the latest news regarding this issue. I will post the link on the AC room for you to see the information. As you know, during the first part of April, we delivered the presentations of our strategic planning in Medellin. Now I will post a link to the video where you will find the presentation. We had already presented this strategic or the planning in Beijing, but now we wanted to take this closer to the region and to the communities. And we wanted to seize the opportunity because we had the LACTLD and LACNID communities. So we had a good reception of or perception of this presentation, and we are very happy for that. Now, next steps. We will start working on the implementation. As you might have read from the documents we sent, we have more than 70 projects within the strategic planning or the strategy divided into different areas, as you know, operations, economic activities, and so on. The following step is to unify the different projects coming from the different areas that might be similar and give priority to those that should be deployed during the first implementation stage, during the first year of this planning. Once we finish with this phase, we will start working on the implementation within the strategic planning working group. We will have coordinators in charge of the different project areas, and then this will be open to the whole community for those who would like to participate in the implementation of the specific projects. Of course, we are not looking for the collaboration of different organizations and regional organizations such as LACNIC, LACTLD, and the different organizations participating in the drafting of the strategy. So we will keep you posted on this. Once we have finished with the projects, and we will invite you to collaborate during the implementation of these projects, at least the ones that are the priority for us during the first year of the strategy. This is my update, and of course, if you have questions and if I have time to, and if we have available time to answer those questions, I would like to answer them. And on the wiki page, you will have you will find further comments. Thank you very much. This is Jose Arce speaking. Thank you very much, Fatima, for your update. Is there any question? I see Dev is congratulating Fatima on her summary. I don't see any hand up on the AC room. Is there any question from those participants not connected to the AC room? Regarding the regional strategic planning. I see a question, Fatima. Sergio is typing the question. In the meantime, I would like to tell you that we still need to discuss two topics on the agenda, so we will be brief. Please, Fatima, be brief in your answer to Sergio. I will read for the record. Sergio says, what can you tell us about the participation of journalists of the regions in the ICANN meetings? And he's still typing, so I don't know if that is the end of the question. Fatima speaking. Jose, I can answer that question. That is a very simple answer. That is not within my role or my remit, so I won't be able to answer the question. This is related to surveys, so this has to do with the groups or the interested groups. So, sorry, Jose, for interrupting you. Fatima speaking. I see the second part of the question. I cannot answer his question because that is out of my role, or I don't have any list of the attendees to the meeting, so perhaps he might ask the question to the staff. Jose Arso speaking. Fatima, if you agree, let's do the following, because we need to finish with this meeting. I would like you to take the Sergio's question and Donnie, and please send us your answer to the list. This is Fatima speaking. Fatima speaking. Jose, I do agree with you, and the channel is open, so I will receive all the questions and I will answer them. Jose Arso speaking. I see Silvia Vivanco is typing that they will send this question to Rodrigo, who will be able to speak about this. And then there is another question regarding the implementation. Perhaps you can answer this question as well. Fatima speaking. Okay, Jose, thank you very much. Jose Arso speaking. Thank you, Fatima, for your great work within this working group. So I would like to congratulate you and your colleagues on your work. Now, let's move forward. Let's discuss the next item on the agenda. This is the update on the meeting working group. Sylvia is part of that working group. Sylvia, would you like to take the floor and tell us about this group and about its meeting? This is Sylvia Helen Leite speaking. For the record, I would like to speak about this working group because there were some misunderstandings and confusions among other working groups, because we're having a great deal of activity, and perhaps that's why we have certain confusion. In February 2013, the board requested the creation of this working group, and this is a meeting of strategy working group for future ICANN meetings. The chair of the group is Sebastian Vacholet, and we have members such as Chris Stein and other staff participants or members such as Sally Costerton, for example. This group is created by different stakeholders such as the GAG, the CCNSO, the ALAC, and Margarita Valdez Cortez, belonging to the CCSO, Tracy Hatchock from the GAC, and myself from the ALAC. We are participating, and we do not have any relationship, or we are not working together with other working groups, which is the Atlas II. This group has been created to improve the meetings and taking into account the needs of all the stakeholders, the ICANN stakeholders. The charter and the mission of this working group is to discuss and propose strategies for future ICANN meetings. Since 2015, all the activities of this working group will be taken into account by 2015. We will need to discuss, for example, things like the number of ICANN meetings during the year. You know that now we are having 3 meetings. We will be discussing if 3 are enough or if we need fewer meetings. Then the location of the meeting, the length, if we're going to take into account rotation, if we can repeat a continent within the same year or if we need to still keep on rotating. We will discuss also about visas. This is a very important issue. And the support, the travel support, remote participation. We will discuss remote participation. How can we improve these issues? Outreach. So this is, of course, something in general. This is for all the constituencies that are part of ICANN. As Jose said before, we met in Beijing and we decided to have 2 monthly calls. Our next monthly call will be Thursday the 23rd. That's why I sent an email to you. And the language, the working language is English, but you can send me emails, giving me ideas to see what we can improve, what you think that it should be improved or implemented in order to facilitate participation in future meetings. The working group will end on October the 28th, and we will deliver the final results of this working group, and then the board will comment on those results in the meeting in Buenos Aires. This is my update. If you have any question, you can ask me now or by email, and if you have any idea to improve meetings, okay, they will be welcome, more than welcome. Thank you.
Jose Arce speaking. Thank you, Sylvia. You are doing an awesome job indeed, and we do need input and feedback from all the region. For those of you that have attended meetings, well, your feedback and input will be more than welcome. Alejandro Pizanti made a significant contribution in our mailing list. So as Sylvia said, your input will be more than welcome. Now I would like to address the last item on the agenda because we are running out of time. I see Dev has a question of Sylvia. I don't know, Sylvia, if you would like to take Dev's question while we upload Alberto's presentation. So, Sylvia, if you want to reply, you have the floor. This is Sylvia speaking. Yes, of course, I was typing my reply. In fact, I will post a link to a wiki, the working group's wiki. We have no transcripts yet because we held only one teleconference. We will have another teleconference next Thursday, and 3 subgroups will be created. But I will post the link to the wiki, and I have sent that by email also. Thank you. This is Alberto Soto speaking. Thank you, Sylvia. So this is Alberto Soto for the record. I will try to take 3 minutes instead of 5 for my presentation. We had a proposed budget following amendments, and this is the proposed budget. We have 16 ALSs in 33 countries as of April in our region. This project aims at having as many ALSs as possible in different countries. So we need to create a working group needs to be created, and that working group's charter will be to determine the type of research to reach the different types of countries. You see Guatemala with almost 15 million inhabitants, and then we have the very last country on the screen with roughly 40,000 inhabitants. This is being done in order to see how we can approach the different countries and different organizations that eventually may become certified ALSs. The working group is expected to hold 8 webinars, 3 of which will be conducted in English, 3 in Spanish, and 2 webinars for all participants simultaneously. Tentative dates would be the third quarter of 2014 to hold these webinars. I have posted a link. It says or it reads Meetrix, but Meetrix is something that I can compare against something else. And I cannot compare anything here, so we are going to focus on objectives. And the objective is to have at least one organization in each of the countries that currently do not have at-large representation. Once we achieve that, we will have the webinars, and we will initiate the accreditation process. There will be, or there is, material in Spanish and in English. Printouts will be ready in the last quarter of this year and the first quarter of 2014, and the webinars would start in the first quarter of 2014. Material will have to be sent out to organizations prior to the webinars, provided that the project is approved. And that's my presentation. Thank you. Jose Arce speaking. Thank you, Alberto, for your explanation. I see that there are certain questions posted on the AEC room. So, Alberto, if you could take the questions and reply to these questions on the email exchange list. Alberto sort of speaking, yes, of course, in the interest of time, I will do that. Jose Arce speaking. And also, Sergio, if you would like to post your questions on the list, surely Alberto will be replying to your questions. So Alberto, Dev, and Silvia Vivanco was supporting them, so any of them will be able to help you. So we look forward to your email. Finally, and we are not going to reach item number 8 on the agenda, but I have 2 final comments. First of all, the regional IGF that has been taking place for 6 years will be held in Argentina this year in the city of Córdoba. AHEA DENSI, an organization to which Fatima and I belong, will be collaborating with this, so we are very pleased. You are all encouraged and invited to attend. We will be informing the different topics at a later stage, but we want you to know that the IGF will be held in the city of Córdoba in Argentina. Secondly, I want to congratulate Fatima Cambronero on her appointment, her new appointment, as a member of an advisory body to the UN Secretary General in terms of internet governance issues. So Fatima, we congratulate you, or I congratulate you on behalf of the region. We are very pleased to see that your job has come to fruition. You have reached very important results because you are representing not only the internet users, but also our country, our region. So congratulations, Fatima. Well done. If there are no further comments, I would like to bring the meeting to a close. having participants on both channels, interpreters. Olivier, thank you very much for the capacity building session. Of course, staff, members, as always, you have been great. Thank you, everybody. We will keep in touch, and I look forward to our next call. Goodbye.
Thanks, everyone. And, of course, thank you to the interpreters.
You're welcome, Deb.